setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. It's exciting, exciting, exciting times. Men and women are looking at 2022 and they're going, let's go, let's go, let's go. And if you're listening to this show, you are on purpose. You are, well, let's call it seeking to figure out what that purpose is. You know what it is. Maybe you're not quite sure how to get there. Maybe you do. And you're just looking for that little extra juice of motivation as you listen in to men and women who are getting after it. Hey, if you're just dealing with some yucky emotions or just some feelings, some thoughts that you think are holding your back, give me a call. We're not just going to give you tactical advice. Sometimes you just need an attaboy, an attagirl, a little locker room talk and some perspective. So we hand that out for free as well. 844-747-2577. Remember this. You were created to fill a unique role in your work. You were needed and you must do it. And when you do it, you will experience meaning that you've never felt before. You will also earn more money than you ever have before. So if that's enticing to you, great news. You're a human being whose heart is alive. It's good to long for that, and it's good to achieve it. 844-747-2577. Okay, I want to address a question we get a lot on this program in the form of calls. Most of the time, it's a spouse calling, but sometimes it's a parent or another family member, sometimes even a friend. And here's the basic question. Hey, Ken, how do I encourage my family member, my friend, that it's time to move on? How do I tell them it's time to quit? And where this question is coming from is a place of supposed or real tension. In some cases, they're going, okay, this could be kind of awkward. I don't want to stick my nose into their business too much. I don't want to offend them. But man, I just see they're not happy. I can see it. How come they can't see it? I feel like I know how they can get there. How come they don't? And you're worried about the possible tension, or you've already experienced tension. Because isn't it true of all of us? That even though the people that we love the most and value the most, we know them, how much they value us, they care for us, we tend not to listen to them. I can tell my kids something 50 times. Then one of their coaches or a teacher or a friend or something tells them, it's like, bing, light bulb goes off. I'm sitting there going, hello. Isn't that true of all of us, though? It's absolutely true. So knowing this, I want to give you five basic questions that you can use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these. You can doctor them, change the wording. I don't care. But I want you to understand that there's a posture by which you still got to use these questions. And that is super low key, no pressure coming from you. Almost a pure quizzical nature, right? Just, I'm just curious. Hey, and you look for the moments in conversations to drop these in. Here they are. First one is, how happy are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Are you... what would you say your fulfillment is in your work? Forget all the circumstantial stuff. How fulfilled are you with your work? Scale 1 to 10. Question like that. Another one. Do you feel like they value you? Now, keep in mind, you're pulling these dandies out, right? And just kind of slipping them in there when conversation happens naturally. You don't sit them down for lunch and go, I got 5 questions that I want to ask you. That's not the posture here. That's not the strategy. It's as they're complaining or saying something, a longing statement. You just kind of, here's one. And you just drop them in here. You can do a couple at a time. You can do all 5 if you want, if the door has been opened. But it's got to be when they're in a place of complaining a little bit, wistfully talking about a better situation. Number 3, do you see other opportunities out there that you would take if you knew you could get them? Or what are the other things you think about? Just kind of, that's an open-ended, like, just get them acknowledging that they're looking or that they're not looking, that they haven't even glanced. They're just kind of stuck in their misery. Here's one. How connected are you to your company's values and mission? And then finally, how healthy do you think this job is for you? How's this job affecting your health? Now, watch what's happening. If I were to take all five of those questions and I were to turn those into declarative statements, you want to talk about putting somebody on the defensive quick, these will do it. Instead of, are you happy at work? Do you feel fulfilled? Go, I don't think you're happy there. You're not fulfilled. Whoa, easy. Easy now. I mean, that automatically creates defensiveness. They don't value you there. Whoa, whoa, slow your roll, Skippy, right? They say, wait, let them decide that. So there's the point. Yeah, I could do this with all five. And when we, and again, I am the chief sinner on this deal. I am a recovering coach for everybody in my family. I've done it 100 times. I'm so passionate about it. I can see it. And I'm very confident in the advice of the direction I'm giving. And I just run right over them. My heart is absolutely in the right place, but I am going about it all the wrong way. Because when I say something like, dude, I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know why you're dragging it out. You should have left this thing 6 months ago. Let's go. And I feel like I'm lighting a fire under them. You know what I'm really doing? I'm stepping on their heart. Because they're not actually hearing what they need to hear because of the way I'm making them feel. I want you to catch that. They're not hearing that there's something better for them, that I can see that they're miserable, that it's having all these effects. They're not hearing any of that. That's what I want them to hear. I want them to hear, I believe in you. You got this. Go, go, go. What they're feeling is something entirely different. And so that is the main reason why, and again, I've learned this the hard way. That's why, again, we want to get away from declarative statements, opinion bombs, right? Where it's like, if you've ever seen one of those military movies where they pull the pin on the grenade and then they lob it, right, over their head and then they wait for the explosion. I've been there, done that, right? And that's what that, if you make these statements and even though your heart's in the right place and you're trying to kind of snap out of it is what you're really doing. You're throwing a grenade and it's landing right on their heart and it hurts them. It wounds them, confuses them even more, creates tension between you and them. When what you really got to do is be the person that listens a lot. And when the conversations open themselves up, then we drop some of these questions in. And instead of you making a statement where it's like hitting the ball across the net at them and they're forced to deal with it, you just smack the tennis ball at them as hard as you can. No. It's like just pushing over a appetizer on the table. I've got this. If you want to take a bite of this, very passive. Let them engage how they want to engage. And by asking questions, you're not making any declaratory statements and you're not putting them in a position where they have to respond of whether they agree with you or not. You're making them respond to themselves. They get to answer. They get to wrestle with it. And that's what we're trying to do. Trying to get them thinking and feeling so that they get closer to acting. That's the beauty of those questions. All right, your calls are coming up next. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multimillionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, so you can get the dream job and give yourself a way to work on purpose, making the money and experiencing the meaning that you desire. This is, in fact, your show. It's about you. It's a free phone call, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Ashley joins us there. Ashley, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I'm really excited to talk to you. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
So my husband and I are in baby step two. I want to go back to work. I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I thought I could go back to work Friday and Saturday nights to kind of help things move faster, but still be home with my kids during the day. So I started applying for waitressing positions, and one restaurant offered me a management position, which I've done a little bit in the past. They pay $22 an hour with the possibility to move to $25 an hour in 90 days. So the other job that I have is a waitressing position, but they make about $30 to $40 an hour on Friday and Saturday nights. So I'm just debating on which one to take. I know the management job would be better for my future, but our littlest one is almost two. So I'm not planning to go back to work for a while. So I think the difference per month might be around $300, you know, less for a management position. So do I take something that's better for my resume and my future career, or do I take one that just makes more money so we can be done with baby step two faster?
I don't think that passing up on this management position hurts you in any way in the future.
Okay. Why?
Because I think this is presuming, and I may be presuming incorrectly, that you're saying if you take the management job now, and then when the baby's older and back in school and you do want to go back, you want to go back into management of restaurants. Is that, I'm presuming that.
No, not necessarily, because
okay, so you're just saying that the management position now just looks better on your resume than being a waitress.
Right. And I want to do some type of management in the future, maybe not specifically restaurants. I don't like the nights and weekends, you know, when that's the only time you can see your kids when they do get older.
Yeah. How many days a week is the manager position?
Two. So just Friday and Saturday nights.
Okay. And it's $300.
And it's pretty close to the same hours. Waitresses maybe work 1 or 2 hours less, but they still overall, you know, I'm guessing with my math, but probably $300 a month less.
$300 a month less to take the management position.
Correct.
And the $30 an hour for the waitressing position, that's a guesstimate based on tips. That could go higher.
It could go higher, or you could go lower, but on average, 30 to 40. And I've interviewed at multiple restaurants, and that seems to be the range.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I'm going to say. I don't think that you passing on the management job now hurts you to be a manager in some other industry later. It just is.
Okay.
Is it going to look better on the resume to say that you were in a management position? Yeah. But is it going to hurt your ability to step into a leadership role somewhere else in some other industry later? No.
Okay.
I guess if my primary goal is making more money, then I'm going to take the one that's got the chance to make more money right now. And I think that, there's the other thing that I'm a little concerned about is, there's going to be more expectation on a restaurant manager than there is a waitress.
Right. I don't mind that. You know, I've done management in the past. I love it. I would rather manage than wait tables.
Oh, well, then you didn't tell me that.
I would rather be out of debt than either one.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but here's the flip side. I was only reacting to the fact that this is not a bad decision. Neither one is a bad decision.
Oh, sure.
We're talking about $300.
Right.
I just feel like the waitress position could make more money. But you're right. There is a risk that the tips don't play out. I guess you have to do your homework on that. What kind of restaurant is it? Is it higher end?
It's high. There, yes, all of them are higher end.
Well, you got me.
Even
in
the management position
this is one
is
of those.
Higher end too.
Yeah, this is one of those where there's no wrong decision, and I'm truly 50-50. Because on one hand, that's not a problem. I'm just saying that on one hand, you would rather do management.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning now towards that because you'd rather do it. Because the difference in money is basically it's nothing. It's $300. I know. Right. I don't want to discount $300, but
well, I'll take the $300. But I see what you're saying.
Well, but then you know there is the volatility of the tips. But at an upscale restaurant, you know maybe they are quoting you
it's
the
probably
highest.
Pretty steady.
It's pretty yeah. steady. So at first I was like, take the more money possibilities of the $300. But now the fact that I know yeah. that you like managing and you'd rather be in that role, and you know what to count on financially. That's good money.
I think it's hard when the servers are making more money than you. You know, you're going to cash them out at the end of the night and be like, oh, you made more money than I did tonight, you know?
Yeah, I get it.
And that's what I'm struggling with. My husband thinks I should take the management position just for the future. I could go step into that full time if I had to or needed to or wanted to in the future.
Well, that is true in that you've managed a restaurant. Yeah. But you told me you didn't want to get back into managing restaurants. So I'm...
Right, I really don't. I really don't. Well, I think then, it just for him would be like a good security blanket. Like, oh, you could go make... $60,000 doing something if we had to as a family.
Yeah, and you can go make $60,000 working at a high end restaurant too.
Right. That's more. True.
See here,
yeah,
here so I know you're looking for direction from me.
I am.
This is so close. There's not a clear winner to me.
Okay.
So this is all about you. And I'm gonna tell you what I tell everybody. You go with your heart. What's your heart telling you?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I think I should wait tables. It's right down the street from our house. We're coming into winter. It would just be so easy. I could leave a couple hours before the manager leaves. You know, it just seems to me like that would be better. I guess it's just for the next position that I apply for.
Nah, don't
is that
care.
Hiring manager nah. going to like
nope.
that I'm a manager versus a waitress?
Nope.
Maybe, though, right? That's my concern.
I'm telling you, you've been able to lead people in a non-restaurant thing. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. You got to do what's right for you. You already answered the
right.
heart. Your heart's telling you to take the waitress position for all the reasons you just listed out. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Right.
Trust your heart.
Okay.
Trust
okay.
your heart. Here's the deal. There's going to be several years between now and then.
Right.
You have plenty of time to burnish your resume and do some other things that would set you up for a leadership role in some other place, some other industry. So managing this restaurant now doesn't have the impact that you think it's going to have 5-6 years from now. It just doesn't.
Okay.
So I appreciate what your husband's thinking. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just going, it doesn't have the impact that you think it does. You know, having worked in a high-end restaurant, working closely with the manager, I mean, you could spin that into a relevant thing. It depends on what we're going for. We don't know what we're going for. You've got to do what's right for you. Big picture. And right for you, big picture is actually making more money, but an easier setup because you're a mom with a little one. This is a part-time gig. It's a gazelle. We're getting after it, paying off debt. And long-term, getting out of debt and also having this the benefits that you outlined are better for you long-term and short-term. And you're not sacrificing any career opportunities down the road. It just doesn't matter that much. Nobody's going to care. And I think that you can learn some things from your current management leadership when you take the waitressing job, and you can apply that. And there's some other things you could do. You could do some part-time managing jobs as you begin to step back into it years from now. And those part-time management roles move you into some full-time leadership opportunities. There's just so many ways to get there. I wouldn't overthink it. I would take the opportunity now that's best for you now, because neither one of these is bad for you long-term. But I think since that's the case, we go for the best short-term decision because both are great and fine for you. I love the perspective. And I think this is so key. Here's what I want to say. A lot of moms listening, your skills don't disappear. Will you need to polish them maybe after several years of being at home? Sure. But they don't disappear. They're still there. They just need a good polishing. Your experience doesn't disappear. It's still relevant. So don't sweat it. You got to do what's right for you now. We'll be here for you to get you back in there. I'm thinking about some things anyway we're developing for a stay-at-home mom to move back into the marketplace. Stay tuned for news on that. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman Show continues to help men and women get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted to be able to get the dream job, to live and work like no one else because you're giving yourself away. You're showing up after years in the dream job because it's about the impact. Income is there, the accolades, all the things are there, but you just want to give yourself away. Some of you are listening to the show because you're going, Ken, I need to get clear, or I'm clear, but now I'm working on getting qualified. I'm going to be qualified soon, or I'm already qualified. How do I get the gig? Well, it's all about getting connected. Relationships are what lead to opportunities, period. One of the relationships that you can use that will fast forward a lot of things is ZipRecruiter. That's why I endorse them. It's a free service to you. I'm not selling you anything. ZipRecruiter's number one job site in the United States. Why? Results. It's free to you and it's easy to you. Two major factors why you should check them out. Ken Coleman, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. And their process works for you because they have so many companies. And the companies are looking for talent, you. So it takes just a few minutes. Profile, load the resume only once. You don't have to keep filling out resumes. Let them go to work for you. They're promoting you. It's like you're doing your thing and you know somebody's out there working on your behalf, giving you updates, by the way. Every time you get a look or a like, and even a contact information request, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, go today. All right, so I want to give you an update on what's going on. We saw, again, record numbers in September. 4.4 million people left their jobs. In August, 4.3 million people left their jobs. A lot of people changing seats. A lot of people starting their own businesses. But there's some factors at play here, and I want to break this down. Let's get to it in the news. All right, if you're new to this concept, the Great Resignation is kind of like, hey, this is the term that's been thrown around to describe all of this movement. Again, nearly 9 million people left their jobs in August and September. I suspect the October numbers will be similar, if not more, than the previous months. A lot of people just deciding, hey, I'm going to get a better paying job because there's high demand. It's a workers' market. So I'm checking in, checking out. Moving in, moving out, going to go where the money is. Not a good strategy. If there's not purpose in it, if there's not meaning, the money wears off. It's nice. It's not everything. So let's look at the states where most people have quit. Hawaii, interestingly enough, number one. Now, they got a lot of older folks. Aging folks are taking retirement earlier, or you know, they're deciding, you know what, I'm going to take some time off. I've got the freedom, the financial freedom to do so. So Hawaii, number one, 7.1% quit rate in September. These are staggering numbers when you're talking about the entire state. 7.1% of the population. Montana next, 4.8%. Nevada, Alaska, Colorado, Indiana, Idaho, all you could throw a hula hoop around them. Between 4.1% and 4.3%. Idaho, another one in the article, this is from CBS News, by the way, that has a pretty old population, or older population. Rounding out the top 10, Oregon, Louisiana, and New Hampshire were in the high threes. This is staggering. In the month of September, for each job that was made available, because you're getting job reports too, how many jobs are created. So for each job that was created in the month of September, there was only 0.74 unemployed people available. I don't even know how they come up with this stuff. I guess it's just basic math, which I'm terrible at, thus I didn't pay attention to in school. It's not even a full person. For every position available, it's the lowest ratio in the history of these job numbers. So what is this doing? It's driving wages up. For instance, the Americans who saw the biggest wage gains were in low wage sectors like leisure and hospitality. That pay jumped 12.4% last month. Staggering numbers from the Center for Economic and Policy Research. So, Why do I reveal this after talking about ZipRecruiter? Because now's the time to get it. I would just caution you, don't just chase money. Don't just chase a paycheck. That's why I wrote the new book, From Paycheck to Purpose. I want to help you get a fat paycheck and experience tremendous purpose in your work. It's possible. It's doable. That's why we do this. By the way, I want to mention the new book, the bestseller, available at kencolman.com. You can get it at a bundle deal. If you're looking for some extra reinforcement in stage one, getting clear, the Get Clear Career Assessment, and the new book, From Paycheck to Purpose, available for only $40. That's an incredible bundle deal. But you get the book, all formats, and it's all available, kencolman.com or wherever books are sold. All right, 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Nadia in Chicago, Illinois. Nadia, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's going on?
So I just wanted to see what your advice on the situation is. I am currently an ICU nurse. I work night shift at a specialty hospital, and I really like my job. I love my coworkers and everything, but I really am looking for a better hours for my life and my son, my family at home. So I got word of an infusion center job that has just basically really great hours that sounded really exciting to me. So I applied for the position, I interviewed, and they ended up offering me the job. And this is within my same organization that I work for now. And so they called me on Friday and offered me the job. They told me what the pay was going to be, you know, answered some of my other questions. And I accepted the offer verbally over the phone with the recruiter. And then, you know, they notified my manager that I was going to be leaving. And then a few hours later, after I got home, told my husband, I was so excited about it. And by the way, the pay was, it was like an $8 increase from what I make now is okay. What they offered me. So, you know, really, really exciting for me.
Right.
And so then after I got home, told my husband, the recruiter called me back and said, actually, I'm so sorry, I made a mistake. And since you already work for the organization, we're actually going to keep you at the same pay rate.
What? What did you say to the recruiter?
Well, you know, I'm kind of young and I'm trying my best to be professional here, you know, and I didn't really know what to say. I was very, you know, taken off guard. I kind of, maybe embarrassing, but I didn't really know what to say. And I kind of said, you know, I just got home and actually, can I call you back?
Okay.
You know, and I did actually ask her though. I did say, you know, well, what would be the circumstances that somebody would make that amount of money, you know, because in my mind, I'm like, you didn't just come up with that number out of thin air.
No,
like,
I got to tell you, something smells fishy to me.
Yeah.
Now it is possible that the recruiter over, you know, maybe offered you a rate for somebody outside the organization. Cause that's happening all the time.
Right.
I mean, this
right.
is the job market we live in. It's not crazy to hear that somebody that's coming in new is getting more money than somebody who's there who has the exact same qualifications. Here's what I would do. I think you go back to your current leader and you go, hey, here's what happened. This was just last week, right?
Yeah, this was just Friday. And
yeah.
Actually, I did talk to my manager. And mm-hmm. because, you know, of course, she called me 5 minutes after the initial call and, you know, did the whole, you know, why are you leaving? What can I do to keep you? All that stuff.
So what'd your leader and say when you told, because I've got about 40 seconds. What'd your leader say when you told him about the change in the hourly? Right.
Sorry. She just didn't really say much, but she said, do you want me to call them and ask them what happened? And
yeah.
I said, well, sure. You know, so she called me back and said, you know, they basically can't tell me very much. Like they didn't really tell me anything.
So you know what I would do if I were you?
You can call.
I would
so
not take,
I did call them.
Don't take the new position. You could call the recruiter back and go, hey, I'm not going to leave the position I like. My current leader wants me to stay. I'm going to stay with her. I'd call her back and go, I'm not going to leave you.
Yeah.
You got to play poker with them is my point.
I hope that they will. I really hope that they will. I think that they want me in that position.
Then
but
here's the deal.
I feel like I've lost a little bit of power because either way, I still
no,
work.
I got to get out of here. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help men and women get unstuck and then get on purpose in their life and their work. You were created for purpose, relationally and professionally. Life is way too short to just work for the weekend. And the key to figuring out what is that unique role is to lock in on that first word, unique. In your uniqueness is your greatness, the unique combination of your talent, what you do best, your passion, the work you love to do, and your mission results you want to create. When we can get those in alignment, we begin to see jobs, paths, dreams come to right in front of us, or we can see them maybe for the first time ever. Oh, I can climb that mountain now. It's possible. That's stage one, get clear. Stage two is get qualified. Stage three is get connected. Stage four is get started. Stage five is get promoted. Stage six is get the dream job. Stage seven is to give yourself away. You are working for impact. You don't even have to show up anymore, but boy, you love it. And that's how we live on purpose and experience tremendous meaning. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. Let's go to Princeton, New Jersey. Monica is on the line there. Monica, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you? I hope you're doing well.
I am doing fabulously. What's going on with you?
So I am looking to step into a new job. And I've been looking at, you know, all the tools you have online, the resumes, articles, things like that. So the position that I've been looking at is really something I've been thinking about for a while, and it's related to what I went to school for, but not related to what I've been working in. So when I'm putting together a resume, I'm having a hard time setting up a like related experience, so it doesn't seem kind of random.
Mm-hmm. Can you be more specific?
So the job that I'm looking for would be something in like environmental work. Now, right now, what I'm looking at is more entry-level positions. So it's like analyzing, studying, work with like mapping, which I have taken classes for at school before. I went to school for biology. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the things that I've done are related, but some of the certifications and things like that, I didn't do, but the job doesn't require it. It's just, you know, like preferred.
Oh, got it. So here's what I would tell you right now. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm going to go get those certifications.
Okay.
Because see, that all of a sudden becomes, because you don't have a ton of work experience. I'm guessing you don't have any specific mm-hmm. environmental sector experience, correct?
No.
But here's the good news. This is entry level, and I love your spirit.
Right.
I can't tell you, Monica, how many people call the show and go, Ken, I'm really frustrated. I need your help. Okay, what's going on? Well, I'm applying for all these jobs, and they keep telling me I need experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get experience if they don't hire me. I'm like, no. That means you got to go a lower level, right? A couple
right.
rungs below. I say, love
right.
that you're focused on entry level. So that means it's not as big of a deal. Experience isn't as big a deal. So the fact right. that there are some certifications that you're aware of that are not required but preferred, get on those. Those shouldn't take too long and cost too much, correct?
They're a little bit pricey just because, it's like very specific programs that you need to learn. So, I mean, it's around like $2,000 usually for a lot of the like classes or
what are you doing
like
now?
That. So I'm actually doing real estate right now. It just kind of happened. So really I was a vet tech.
Are you doing well? Are you selling stuff?
Yeah, I'm selling stuff.
All right. So,
I also work for someone. So I work day to day as well.
Great. So you have two jobs.
Basically. Yeah.
Okay, great. So $2,000 isn't that much.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, with focus.
Right.
I mean, it may take you how long to save $2,000?
I don't know. I mean, I could.
I know.
Do it right now.
Well, my point is it's up to you. You can go after this right. without all the stuff on the resume. Right now, mm-hmm. people are looking for people.
Right.
My question is, how many relationships do you have with people that are working in that industry where you could get some really
yes.
strong recommendations? Sounds like you've got it.
I have been thinking about that and like looking for that. I have someone potentially
all right.
that I could try.
Well, so here's the deal. You have two tracks. You can just mm-hmm. work the proximity principle, okay, which is a very simple principle. I wrote a book on it. Became a bestseller.
Right. Yep, I read it.
Great. Well, you got
and I
it.
I just asked for your new book for Christmas.
Oh, great. That's awesome. So who did you ask for it from? Who did you?
My dad.
Oh, my gosh. I am going to make Christmas come early for you today. I'm giving you the book today.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. So tell Dad, Dad, buy me something else.
Something else.
Something Perfect. Else. I'm going to give you the book today. Okay. But here's the deal. You already understand the proximity principle. So that's one right. strategy is work that and just take the entry level and get in. I think it's probably going to be easier than you think. The right. other strategy is
overthinking it.
I think so a little bit, but that's okay. But the other strategy is to go ahead and get one or two of those certifications, stay mm-hmm. where you are, hold mm-hmm. and go get those things and then jump into the application process. Cause that's going to do two things for you. Number one, it is going to make you a better candidate because you have these certifications.
Right.
The second thing it's going to do is give you time to shake the apple tree, right? To get out there and mm-hmm. look for connections, and while you're getting certified and further qualified, you're out there getting relationships, which is going to hopefully open up offers to you while you're getting qualified.
Right.
Either approach works. Go for both. You do both at the same time. I'm going to see if I can relationship myself into this without certifications. And I'm going to save up the money for it so that if I don't turn the relationships into gigs right away, I'm going to go get the certifications. Now I'm ready to go. And in this hiring market, they're going to jump all over you as a candidate.
Right. That's what I'm hoping for.
I 100% believe it. So all that to say, on your resume right now, all you can do is basic general biographical information on your schooling. I would make all that the hero stuff, is the mm-hmm. training you got through school, because you just don't have the real life work experience. But it doesn't sound right. to me like you need it, because it's entry level anyway.
Yeah, I've taken, you know, the courses that I would need, you know, and then there's things like you've talked to other people about this when they say they don't have experience, but the things they do at work are related or are qualities that they would need for the job.
Yep.
So
I like that.
To focus on that.
Yeah. I want you to do both and. Everything we talked about today, okay. it's a both and strategy. We'll see which one pays off first.
Okay.
But listen, you're focused. You are making enough money where you can save up the money for the certifications. You might as well go get them.
Right.
Because you're probably going to need to get them at some point anyway to move up.
At some point, right.
So to me, let's go both in. Let's see which strategy works. So use the proximity principle, hustle, hustle, hustle. I'm giving you the book From Paycheck to Purpose. Use the plan, the seven stages while you're making connections. You might be potentially taking one or two certifications. All right, you got this. This is a process, folks. And I think a lot of times, I love this question from Monica, because I think sometimes we go, what's more valuable, right? Is it a relationship or is it the certification? And in this situation where it is preferred, not recommended, I think it's a true 50-50. If they see her as a great candidate and they go, okay, she's got the school background, she's got interest in it, passion for the work, she's got a good relationship there where they can go, okay, I know Monica, heard good things from Monica, from this person who I respect and like, the connection's more valuable. There's just no question. The certification kind of adds a little extra to it. But I would tell you folks, relationships, relationships, relationships. Certainly for entry-level work. Because at entry-level positions, here's what you have to understand. The companies are already knowing, expecting, planning to train you. So what are they looking for there? They're looking for the raw talent that they can hone into the skills. They're looking for the hard work and commitment to the organization so that they can invest. They're looking for somebody who's hungry and humble, somebody who wants to learn and is grateful to be there. That's what they're looking for. And you don't have to have a resume that says all those things. That's where the personal connection and you showing it in the interview, that's where that comes out. And then you're golden. Companies will train you. They want to train you. They expect to train you. Go after it. Don't you dare, Monica, quit on this. Get after it. You're so close to getting in, and it's all about the climb. All right, my time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter, and you do have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.